So taking from Yvonne's talk, I'll start with a little bit about who I am. And I define myself as a developmental psychologist. I've been doing research on autism for the past 8-9 years on many, many different levels of research, which we can talk about later. And I've also been, you know, a lot of my scientist friends don't know this, but for the past 12, 13 years, I've been having a really regular practice in contact improvisation and almost bordering on an addiction. So that's where I come from. And just because there's a lot of terminology going around, a lot of disciplines, I'll start with, you know, just really defining what autism is. So autism spectrum disorder is a neurodevelopmental disorder defined by difficulties with social skills, difficulty in communication, and a tendency for repetitive, routinized, ritualistic behaviors. And one of the really interesting, I would say almost paradigm shifts in the past 10 years in our understanding of autism is that, you know, most research has focused on these cognitive linguistic levels of autism, my research included. And what we're now finding is that individuals with autism have all these really subtle sensory motor disturbances that might affect how they see the world, how they hear it, how they sense it, and also how they engage within it. Now, why is this important in the Joint Improvisation Conference? So, as we know, one of the basic tenets of joint improvisation, as has been mentioned in many of the talks here, is joint synchronization. And we know that in neurotypical individuals, synchronization and imitation as well is spontaneous, it's subconscious, and as Valeria just told us this morning, it has also been shown to increase collaboration and increase empathy. So the question is, you know, are these, would these sensory motor disturbances that we find in autism, would these lead to interpersonal difficulties with synchronization? And indeed, there have been a few studies that have been done to show this. So some from the group in, which, what's the name?
Cincinnati.
Yeah, in Cincinnati, showing difficulties. So for instance, if you place a parent and a child next to each other in rocking chairs and they have to read a story together, the typical children will rock in sync with their parents, but the children with autism aren't able to rock in sync. Now, what's interesting about these studies is that they've mostly looked at repetitive rhythmic tasks. And what happened when I came back to Israel and met with Lior Noy and Yulia Goland, and basically what I'm going to be showing you today is some research taking this one step further and looking at what happens to individuals with autism when they're playing a joint improvisational task using the mirror game task, which we've also heard a lot about. So the first question that I'm going to be focusing on today is, during joint improvisation in autism, do we see this very special moment of co-confident motion, which it's been mentioned, but I'll remind us of what it is in just a moment. So looking at this very highly specialized synchronization, that's the first question. And the second question is basically, so putting all of these pieces together. So far the research has really looked at, you know, basic motor abilities and isolation. So can a person coordinate with their, you know, the right hand with their left hand, or their upper body with their lower body, right? So, but how does this then feed into interpersonal synchronization and coordination? Okay, so trying to find out what is happening here. And then the other end of this story, the way I see it is, you know, not just stopping at the joint, at the motor level of synchronization, but how does joint improvisation affect then my social skills, my everyday social skills? So here I am with my collaborator, Yulia Goland. Says hello. And as we've already heard, the goal of the game is to create movements together, like a conversation in movements. And just like Uri did with you, all of you yesterday, there's the first task is one person leads and the other person follows, and then the two players are told to jointly improvise. And we've already heard, Tomi also set this up really well. There are two patterns. So during the leader-follower patterns, we find this that the leader has this confident trace and the follower has a jitter. But during these very specialized moments of co-confident motion, the two players have this smooth line, which is taken to say that it's internally driven with no jitter. And I want to point two points that I want to emphasize that I feel I haven't really been emphasized enough, is that during these co-confident motion moments, the distance and time between the two players' motions is less than 180 milliseconds apart. So as Christian talked about yesterday, less than the time it takes me to see what the other person is doing and give my hand the motor command to imitate. So something really almost pre-imitative that's happening. And I also want to emphasize that co-confident motion, I'll be calling it CC for short, can happen at any round. It can happen either when there's a leader or a follower designated or when the two players are playing jointly. Now, what did we do? So I also wanted to mention what I'm presenting to you today. We're still in the phases of data collection. So what I'm presenting today is really, really preliminary, you know, first peek at the data. I'm really excited to show this to you and very open to feedback. And we had 26 typical developing adults and 10 adults with autism, and they all played against the expert improviser, which, for lack of personnel, was me. So I'll be able to give you some suggestive experience. And we had a whole battery of motor tests. So we had some standardized tests. So for instance, the PNES, which looks at neurological soft signs. So here, this person has to jump on one foot while going like this and basically looking at coordination. And we also had sort of a buildup. I won't be talking about this today, but just to mention, we had a buildup of very different tasks. So a reaching task and a proprioception, so they had to reach with their eyes closed and so forth. And we had a social skills task, so 5 minutes, where the same participant spoke with the experimenter about a recent vacation, and it was a kind of a free-flow conversation. And we used both quantitative and more qualitative scores, so the quantitative, just, you know, counting the number of looks and the number of smiles, and qualitative scores of affect and flow. Okay, so the first really exciting and surprising finding to me was that individuals with autism can attain co-confident motion with an expert improviser. Okay, so here we see this is a 3-minute game, and in gray you can see some of these moments, and if we zoom in, you can see, you know, here there's this jitter, and then they, you know, both lines are smooth here. So they have this co-confident pattern. Now, what's really interesting is to look at the breakdown of what happens at each round. So it's kind of a complicated graph, but let me simplify it. So in the green bars are the typical individuals, and you see that for the typical individuals, so this is the percent of co-confident motion when they're playing against me, and they are most able to reach co-confident motion when they're following. So this is different from the experts study, where they had the most in the joint improvisation. These are lay people, not with much experience in dance. And in the autism group, so these differences are not significant, although we might find them to be significant later, but what I want to focus on today is this interaction effect between round and group. So overall, we did, so the autistic group had significantly less co-confident motion when they were following. And what's pretty striking to me is that they were capable of attaining co-confident motion when they were playing with me, either when they were leading or when they were doing joint improvisation. And I'm still struggling to find to figure out why, but part of the explanation, I think, is that when we were doing this joint improvisation, they took the lead a lot. And so, I was following them, and that's what that's why we were able to attain the co-confident motion. So now looking at the motor skills, so as we expected, we found a significant difference. So these are the number of errors you had in your motor coordination. So the autistic group had way more errors than the typical group, which we expected, but it's nice to replicate. And what's interesting is that these motor skill scores correlated with the degree of co-confident motion in the mirror game. So right now it's a pretty weak correlation, but we might see it becoming more significant. And what's really interesting is that this co-confident motion in the mirror game also correlated with the conversation, and specifically with this measure of number of head shakes and nods. So these affirmative nods in conversation. So to summarize, going back to these basic questions, do we find co-confident motion in autism? The big revelation to me was that yes, but we find it less in following, which is concordant with a lot of research on difficulties in imitation in autism and so forth. Do we find that these basic motor abilities correlate with their levels of CC? Indeed, it seems like it. And what's really interesting to me is that this also has some ecological validity, so it correlates with what they're doing in their everyday conversational skills. So some future directions here, what I presented to you was mostly just correlations, and we want to look at causality. So can playing the mirror game actually enhance empathy and collaboration? So somewhat similar to this task that you described. And I also want to take the mirror game out, from the lab into the field and look at, can we increase, if the mirror game does indeed enhance empathy and collaboration, can we increase the amount of empathy and collaboration that individuals with autism have with their caregivers? And especially if you think of nonverbal individuals with autism, which are also part of the spectrum, which we don't talk about so much, but how do I access those people? How can I, increase our mutual understanding? And another, completely open frontier is looking at two individuals with autism who play together. And what kind of joint improvisation are they going to create? And is this going to be a whole new language that they're going to teach us? So thank you very much to my team.